This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. So Arianna Huffington famously said a few years ago that to be effective, you need to sleep your way to the top. What she was talking about was not what you are thinking. It was, in fact, exactly what she said. You need to sleep. Well, I don't necessarily have Arianna Huffington's knack for words, but what I want to talk to you today is not about how you sleep or who you sleep with, but how you literally outplay your competition. Today, you are stuck with me. We've got a solo episode, and I thought on the brink of summer, there is nothing better to discuss than the physiological importance of, wait for it, play. Play. Play is massively important to your health and, frankly, your life. I'm going to get into it in just a second why this is so important. But one of the things that happened to me that forced me to really start to shift on this was this acknowledgement and this change in mindset away from this notion that I trade my time for money, and instead realizing and embodying this idea that what people pay me for are in fact the results that I can produce. And when I am a results-driven entrepreneur as opposed to a time-trading entrepreneur, it meant that I completely had to shift up how I spent my time, how I reinvigorated myself, and how I engaged my brain to maximize creativity, to increase my sense of flow, and to totally change the vantage point from which I contributed to the world. For me, this meant acknowledging that play was a major vacancy in my life, despite having three children, and it was something that I needed to upregulate in a very significant way if I was going to truly embrace this new way of thinking. And this, my friends, is exactly how I did it. Last week, I had a patient come in, and we were talking about goals for the summer. This person is organized, their health and the metrics related to health are super strong. And so I asked a really simple question related to summer plans. I said, not where are you going for vacation, but what are you doing for fun or play? And this is a question I frequently ask on my podcast of my guests as well. And this person looked at me and went, fun or play? I said, yeah, what are you doing for fun or play? And again, there was this perplexed look as if I had suggested this notion that had never occurred to them. And this broke down into a conversation that the two of us had related to the concept of play and spontaneity. And by the end of the conversation, they looked at me and they said, well, how exactly do I do that? And here's the cool thing about fun or play. And I will also preface this by saying this conversation is coming on the tail end of a 4-day trip that I just took with some friends to Vegas. And the thing about play, and the reason why I ask about it, is that it is fundamentally, by virtue of what it does to our physiology, the opposite of depression. And yet, it's a concept that I feel so many of us left behind in our teenage years. So rather than interview a guest to talk about play, and I have a few on my list that I'd love to get in front of you, I wanted to just explore this idea with you guys myself. So here you are, you get another long-awaited solo episode with just me. And what we're going to talk about on the very brink of summer and vacations and downtime are the benefits of play. The benefits physiologically, the benefits psychologically, the benefits from a leadership perspective. This is a concept that I feel like we frequently overlook or we stick into a corner, and yet it plays such a fundamental role in how we live our lives and how we conduct ourselves as leaders. You know, there's so many people who are engaged in our community here at the Anthropology Podcast who are entrepreneurs, who are putting things out into the world. And I think the trap we can all get into, myself included, is that I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time to go to the bathroom, let alone find time to play. It's just not high on my priority list. And for me, one of the concepts that really started to get me to not just shift my perspective around play, but to really actively look at ways to engage it into my life is when I stopped valuing my time directly correlated to money. Now, I work when I'm seeing patients in a model that requires that I set amount of time and I charge people accordingly for that. And what I've really tried to do is psychologically pull myself away from that model and view it instead like this, that I don't ever trade my time for money. What I do is I engage with people related to an outcome. I work with them to achieve a result, which is totally different than working with them for an hour. And what I realized when I shifted this mindset is for me to be a results-driven person as opposed to a time-giving person is that there were different things that went into my way of thinking and how I lived my life that drove me to being able to produce greater results. And one of them I realized is play. And play can take many forms as an adult. Sometimes it just means disengaging. Sometimes it might mean reading a book for fun in a coffee shop. Whatever it is for you, wrap your head around it and really start to place value on it. Because when you stop looking at your time as the metric you are selling and instead look at results as the item that you are selling to an employer or to a client or whoever it may be, it is going to require a different set of input. You know, one of the people that I really enjoy listening to as it pertains to games is a researcher out of Berkeley, I believe, somewhere on the West Coast. And her name is Jane McGonigal. And I heard her speak a few years ago, and she has a very interesting story. She had experienced a concussion, and she was a researcher related to video games. And she designed her own game to start to pull herself out of the slump that she experienced as a result of that concussion. And this has really driven a significant portion of the work that she has done as a researcher. But one of the things that she says is she says a game is an opportunity to focus our energy with relentless optimism at something we're good at or getting better at and enjoy. In other words, gameplay is the direct emotional opposite of depression. When you strip away the genre differences and the technological complexities, all games share four defining traits: a goal, rules, a feedback system, and voluntary participation. And what's so cool about this and that framework, this idea of having a goal, this idea of having rules, a feedback system, and the choice to engage in it, it is actually the perfect construction and opportunity for us to turn on specific physiological pathways. Anyone who's had a teenager who plays video games knows that when you start to take those video games away from a child or teenager or frankly a husband, you notice that there's literally like this series of withdrawal symptoms that you are viewing and witnessing, and that's because you are. So when they look at PET scans of people's brains as they withdraw them from video gameplay, for individuals who were playing video games more than 22 hours per week, which is the definition in the video game world of addictive video play. What we found is if we withdrew the video games from that population rapidly, on PET scan, the withdrawal symptoms and the physiological cascades that these individuals were experiencing in their brain mimicked rapidly pulling someone off of antidepressants. And for those of you who don't know, that is just that's a medical no-no. You do not rapidly pull someone off an antidepressant. They have very severe and significant symptomology that will result because of that rapid withdrawal. And we see the same thing with video games. And so the converse also is true, that as we engage in video games, what we actually experience is a change in serotonin in our brain. But most importantly, and the part where we feel good about playing them, is because it actually engages a neurotransmitter called dopamine. And so in this conversation related to play, I'm going to introduce you to two chemicals in your body. One is a hormone and one is a neurotransmitter. The hormone gets produced by a gland or organ called the adrenal gland, and the hormone we're going to talk about is cortisol. And dopamine, just as a point of differentiation as a neurotransmitter, gets produced by a neuron, and it creates reactions in the body. And dopamine is really interesting, especially for entrepreneurs. The thing about dopamine is it is frequently the thing that entrepreneurs are chasing. It is the neurotransmitter of anticipation. And I'll tell you a story about someone that I worked with at one point. And we were looking at all of the things that she was committed to in her life. And she had a lot on the go and frequently came in because she was stressed by the number of things that she had on her plate. And as we started to look at the things that she was engaged in, we started to recognize a pattern. And the pattern that we started to recognize is that she loved to start new things. She loved sitting on boards. She loved creating initiatives. She loved being on a new committee. She loved to be involved. And she realized, and as we spoke, that she literally got a high and an excitement as she started something new. And I'm sure some of you listening can probably relate to that. There's something fun and exciting about getting a new job, about being given a new role or responsibility. That excitement and that high that you get is driven by that neurotransmitter called dopamine. And what we realized for her is that a huge amount of her behavior was actually being driven by a desire to achieve that high, not necessarily because sitting on committee X, Y, or Z was in alignment with where she wanted to go personally or with her career. And this realization that her behavior was actually being driven by a desire to feel something meant that we could actually change the behavior so she could derive the feeling in a more productive way. This was a massive realization for her, and it was a turning point in terms of her being able to step back and manage her own stress and her own physiology. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter of anticipation. So yeah, you will get it from starting something new, but here's the other way you can get dopamine: simply by anticipating a vacation, simply by anticipating something fun. You can also get dopamine by going on a shopping spree, but what I'm trying to get you to do is engage in things that actually move you forward, that contribute to your health. And so one of the things, as you're thinking about your summer and you're planning it out and you're trying to find that balance, is I really want you to make some effort to stop and plan some fun things this summer. You know, it is great to be spontaneous, but you also need to make room in your schedule for that to be able to happen. And for that to be able to happen without stress and without a sense of repercussion, because if you spontaneously take off from work for 3 days, your boss might not be happy, but your inbox is also going to overflow. And so when you plan for the opportunity for play or to be spontaneous, what you get in return is the opportunity for that flood of dopamine. It is an anticipatory neurotransmitter. We'll get it by planning a vacation. We'll also get dopamine released when we engage in games and play that create consistent positive feedback. There are board games that have the capacity to do this for us on a really simple level. I'll think of something like Snakes and Ladders. You move ahead. It might not work always for you, but suddenly you hit a ladder and it's exciting. It releases dopamine in small amounts. The reason why there is such an allure to video games is that the constant dinging, the one-ups, the flags flying, the lights shining, all of these different pieces, these trigger dopamine in much higher levels in the brain. Having just come from a casino and walking through and watching people be thoroughly mesmerized by the slot machines and the light and the oxygen, what you were doing was you were looking at around the room, watching all of these people's brains being completely manipulated by the high of dopamine. And so while I'm not looking for you to plan a gambling trip to Vegas, and it's not why we went to see some phenomenal shows, what I do want you to be aware of is the fact that you can actually trigger this neurotransmitter in really super positive ways. There's tremendous benefit to planning things out. There's tremendous benefit to just actually engaging in play. If you are looking for me to tell you that video games can actually be good for you, then you are in fact in luck. The thing with video games is, and I previously mentioned that there is some benefit to playing them, and we have found that you can have some positive reinforcement from their engagement, but it requires that there are certain stipulations. The first, 22 hours a week seems to be a magic number. When we extend beyond 22 hours a week, what we tend to see is more addictive neurochemistry starting to appear for people. It's very difficult for us to withdraw, and it's starting to interfere with behavior. I don't know who has 22 hours a week to spend on video games, but I do not want you to move in that direction. When you do play a game, what we have found is that when there's a capacity to consistently get better, not always win, but be challenged enough to move forward a little bit, then be knocked down, then move forward, then try a little bit harder, shift in strategy, that is actually a very effective way to not only release dopamine, but to affect that other chemical that I talked about, this hormone in the body called cortisol. And short spurts of game playing, video games, board games, horseshoes outside, if that is your thing, have actually been shown to reduce overarching cortisol levels in people's body. Cortisol is a stress hormone that gets released on a very consistent basis in your system, higher in the morning, lower at night. But when we have chronic, unrelenting stress, cortisol levels go high and stay high for longer periods of time until eventually the body gets too exhausted to produce cortisol at all. What this results in is what's called adrenal stress and eventually adrenal fatigue, and it significantly impairs our ability to be effective and to be creative in that area of our life that we talked about at the very beginning, our careers. We've all heard that mindset has a huge influence on our ability to be effective and amplify in this world. But what if I told you your brain biochemistry, literally the neurotransmitters that are existing within your nervous system, can help amplify your mindset or your capacity to be effective? They can help accelerate your mission in the world. More and more with both my coaching clients and my patients, we end up having a conversation related to our own ability to control our nervous system through the optimization of neurotransmitters. Now, what the heck do I mean by this? The foods that you eat, the way that you think, your interaction with the world has the capacity to increase things like serotonin or dopamine, some of these really important neurotransmitters to helping you be effective and operate at your best. After listening to literally thousands of conversations with my clients and with my patients, I pulled together a very quick checklist so that you could have a better understanding of the things you're doing every single day to amplify your nervous system or downregulate it in a way that isn't necessarily serving your mission. If you want access to this information and want to learn a little bit more about how you can optimize your brain health for success, visit meganwalker.com/brainhealth to grab your handout now. Now, back to our episode. So play not only has this profound impact on our day-to-day physiology, but it actually can have a profound impact on our longitudinal physiology. By engaging in play, what we are looking at is a non-supplement way of being able to totally shift our physiology. But to be able to do it and to be able to benefit from it starts by us actually acknowledging value in it. And so here is my challenge to you. As we sit on the brink of summer, which will go by in the blink of an eye, I want you to do a few things. I want you to plan some fun days. I want you to literally plan time away from your inbox, away from your work, so you can cultivate a new type of neurochemistry, a neurochemistry that will breed imagination and ingenuity and creativity, and will lower those cortisol levels and enable you to jump back into your work and into your mission and into your purpose with greater energy. You're going to be able to change the way you look at problems when you take time to step back and challenge and engage your brain in a different way. So start by planning out some opportunities for play, and simply the anticipation of engaging on those days is going to change those levels of dopamine in your system. And then my second challenge to you is to do something fun, spontaneous, outside of the box. And when you do, what it will do is it will lower those cortisol levels in your system. It will enable you to engage with people and community who are actually really important to you. But most of all, what it will do is it will just give you a break. There's a huge benefit to being able to view the world in a different way. And there's also a massive benefit from stepping back from that thing that we push so hard to achieve day in and day out. I met with my mastermind group this morning, and one of the things that came up was, how do we balance work and life? And the conclusion that we all came to was that no matter what we're doing, whether we are working or we're hanging out with our kids, that there's this very blurry line that lies between them. And rather than trying to seek balance at all times in terms of how we work and how we hang out with family, the consensus, at least for me, and the sentiment that I walked away with, is that we need to work less on creating balance between these boundaries, and we need to work more on simply building a life that is consistent and congruent with our values. How is it that you want to live? And in looking at that and talking about this concept of play right now, what I realize is that for me to have a fulfilling life, it can't simply be about work or my inbox or achievement. I have to be building a life at the same time. I have to be laughing. I have to be having fun. I have to have things to look forward to. I have to experience this world around me. And to do that well, it starts with play. And so on that note, I'm out of here. I'm off to pick up my daughter from school. We are off to hit the playground, and this will be the first of many opportunities to do this over the course of the summer. Hit us up on our Facebook page, engage with us on social media, tell us what some of the cool things you are doing this summer to be able to play and have a little bit more fun.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.